Andrew, let's jump in straight away. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. I'm joined by Andrew Canyon. We're going to do a shorter episode this week, hoping to keep it between or under 45 minutes. So we're just going to jump straight in. Andrew, give me your first topic.
First topic, well, I'm from Perth, and I want to go straight into Perth Wildcats stuff.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to say?
Well, the talk suddenly, it seems like the league is woken up to them potentially being contenders. Who would have thought? Back-to-back champions. They're still in the running for a third straight. Although I should probably take a bit of, I think I was doubting their performance at the beginning of the season as well. So be that as it may, they are definitely back in the mix now. And I just want to like have a little explore into what's changed, what's going well for them and what their future might hold.
Well, I mean, we were talking about it just off air before, so I don't want to steal your thunder, but I mean, I asked you the question of how do they go from losing Nick Kay and a third import, who was Tarigo White, how do they go about doing that and still have the two best players in the NBL? Do you think I'm right in saying that they have the two best players in the NBL with Cotton and Mooney?
I think that, yeah, I think they're the best 1-2 punch in the league at the moment. I'm not seeing, and they seem to have a great connection. Mm-hmm. Some of the little pocket passes Bryce is getting to. Mooney is just Mr. Reliable. He gets the spot he needs to be at the
consistent,
time he needs to be there. Every screen he sets with intention, every roll, he rolls like he means it.
Got eyes for rebounds. Yeah. Uh-huh. Huge fan.
Hungry for it. I just think those two, and they complement each other perfectly. Mm. So I think that's how the Perth Wildcats have done it.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Is Mooney an upgrade on Nick Kay?
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Which amazes me to say that, because if you told me we were going to get enough credit on Nick Kay, I would have thought you're crazy, because he was so
good. It's the consistency. It's Mooney's, like, I think Nick Kay had an amazing finals. He was, if Nick Kay stretched out his finals over the season, would have been a better player.
Yep.
But Nick Kay had a bit of a down year last year for sure. Fatigue from the World Cup probably. But Mooney is just, he's there every game. And really, outside of Bryce Cotton, John Mooney, Jock Landau, I don't think of another player who's really that absolute guaranteed consistent every game. Maybe I'm being a bit cruel. Nathan Sobey's starting to get there, but he had a couple of lulls earlier in the year. Mm. Like Vic Law's been up and down. Can't really think of anyone else.
I mean, the thing about Mooney is he's given it to you in every which way. You're getting rebounds. He's hitting a mid-range shot. Steps out the three-point line. Doesn't seem to be a challenge. Then he's got all the drop steps and baby hooks, inside moves, reverse layups. He's just so solid. So what do you take away?
You just got to get him off the backboard. You have to get him off the backboard. I don't know how you do it, because he moves you, he shifts you, he's got an eye for it. You want to talk about one player in particular?
Yeah, and then there's Jesse Wagstaff. He is having a career year. I looked up some of his stats.
How old is he?
Good question. He's born in 86, 34.
Wow. I mean, that's not too old. That's not too, you know, that's right on the boil though. That could have gone either way this season. Let's
yeah,
just say that.
Yeah.
It looked like it was going one way this season. Jeez.
I was watching the game yesterday where they absolutely pants the Hawks, and Jesse Wagstaff just kept knocking down three after three. I was like, he's just not missing. And I sort of cast my mind back over the games previously. I thought, apart from layups, I hardly remember him missing shots.
I remember him missing layups, I'll say that much.
So, yeah. So I did what any self-respecting basketball person should do.
You went to Real GM.
Real GM. I looked it up. So I can tell you that the 1920 season, or sorry, no, not 19, what are we? I mean, time warp, 2021 season.
Mm-hmm. This season.
Yeah, this season. Could have just said that, right?
Either or. Both works.
He's shooting at 55% from three-point range.
That's pretty high.
And that's like two baskets from 3.64 a game. His previous best, if I scan back.
Career best?
Like across a season.
Yeah.
Was 2013-14, where he was shooting 42.7.
It's almost a decade ago.
Yeah. So credit to his longevity. But
do you have any explanation for it?
Well, I think he's not forcing anything. One of his shots is wide open, delivered on a platter. You know, they've doubled Bryce Cotton or something, and he just leaks out to that three-point line. And whack.
I think also with the lack of a third import, like that third import was normally an attacking wing athletic wing. Like, you know, it was sort of Tarigo White, you could argue it was, for the Wildcats. It was sort of someone like DJ Newport, you know, it was one of those sort of guys. So maybe that's the spot that's most taken a hit and he's kind of stepped up into that absence. Just a thought. I don't know.
Yeah. But he is having a career year, you got to say, at the ripe old age of 34. And I think it's him and the improvement of Blanchfield that has probably seen the Perth Wildcats.
They've extracted blood from the stone, blood being consistency out of him, or at least some form of consistency. So, yeah, he's been quite good too. Yep. One thing I want to say about the Wild, we asked the question last time, as constructed, are they title contenders? We said yes. Just quietly, I did tip them for the championship. But anyway, I think that here's why I also say that as well. There's been a lot of talk about decals. We're going to go into a short chat about that later. You'll notice a lot of teams and a lot of players have chimed up about the decals. Players in Brisbane, Sydney have been a huge part of it, probably the part of it. Which team and its players have been totally zip-lip on that issue?
Haven't heard anything from our friends at Perth Wildcats.
Perth Wildcats. And that's while the other teams are brushing up on their workplace relations law, Perth Wildcats are working on their game. And that to me is a strong pointer to them being contenders.
Yeah, I think they very much seem to take the view of control the controllables. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I'm going to put something out on Twitter and this is going to change the world. I'm sorry. You think that. You think when you hit tweet, you think you're making a difference. It's garbage. It's a complete mess. Anything else on the Wildcats?
No, but I think watch this space. Look, they're probably going to win the NBL Cup. Another 300K in the... Or was 150? 150.
How
winners,
that would irritate everyone. The wealthiest club getting even more. That makes me laugh. Why don't the Wildcats put up their team for the TBT? Why don't they, the winning team, well, let's say they do, whichever team, just put up your own team into the TBT. Win a million. If you took the Wildcats, if you took eight players from the Wildcats, they'd win the TBT. Long as Bryce is one of them.
Yeah, as long as Bryce is one of them. You might need one other sort of superstar.
Superstar player. Okay. Get one other guy in.
Get Nathan Sobey in.
Get Tarico White. He's probably banging around the US. One less plane ticket. So yeah,
import restrictions.
Exactly. Yeah. So
million bucks. That's just a good idea.
US, which is about 1.3 or something. I don't know. Where do you want to go next? Do you want to do decals quickly?
Yeah, let's do decals. Get them out of the way. Everybody knows they're coming, right?
We have to do this. We had a big chat about it last week. I just saved my first dot point. It's getting nasty, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's not going away. It's getting real messy.
Mm. Bryden's lawyers have come out taking theirs. That is such a play.
They
took the high road. I mean, listen, out there everywhere, there's one people you can trust in the world, and that's injury compensation lawyers. We keep saying this, Andrew, okay? They're not this whole ambulance chaser reputation. It's just false. It's flawed. You trust them. You can trust them.
It's unfair. What other sort of law company advertises on TV, puts bumper stickers on uniforms? You know, like... It's quality, right?
We gotta be. Let's shift. I mean, what we've seen now is it shift to social media, and I mean, Andrew Bogut's been the source of most of this sort of stuff. And he put out the thing of any players who criticize the decals or mention the decals are getting fined. Now, what that quote unquote reporting didn't touch on was in what way can't they talk about the decals? Can they not approach their union rep? I would doubt that. Can they not approach their club? Not possible. Can they not approach each other? They just can't do it on social media. I think I haven't seen the exact release, but I'm willing to bet that the release was, do not take this issue to social media. It is against our social media policy, which isn't out of kilter with any other workplace. Am I right, Andrew?
As far as I'm aware, most workplaces worth their salt have some sort of rules around what you can and can't say about your employer. Usually they're very happy if you say things. Yeah, usually they're very happy if you say nice things about them. And the wonderful things they do, but less impressed if you start to bring them into disrepute.
Especially with the decals. This is just not – this decal issue, it's social media is not the place for it. It is an issue involving economics, player safety, the physics of friction, cleaning regiments, club, league. It's all this one big thing. You can't do that in 220 characters or whatever it is on Twitter. It's not possible. So
no, but I think – I don't want to let the NBL off the hook for this either. They still have a duty of care, in my view, to look after their players. It's the most important asset they've got. And if they – I know they've given a lot of lip service. They've said that they're looking at the issue and FIBA quality, yada, yada. Just do what needs to be done, whether that's improve the quality of the decals, whether that's put it on the sidelines. I don't know. Yep.
Shift
You've got to find a way to resolve this, because it's just like reputational damage is being done. Oh, that would be my advice.
What do you think of the banana peel? The banana peel. Listen, I love a good job. I thought that was funny, but straight away I was like, it's really funny. Is it worth your job? Because that's what I would have been contending with had I had it. I had my finger hovering over enter to send it. It was very funny.
I couldn't believe it was from their own marketing.
I thought it was a fake. It's a fake. Can't be real. And then it was real. And they sacked him. Unbelievable.
Well, you would sack them, wouldn't you? I mean, that's fair play.
Oh, totally. If there was any debate, like, oh, what we thought. No, I think it was disgruntled employee, hit enter. There's no way you would send that thinking you were not going to get shit canned. Not possible.
So, yeah, there's still work to be done on the decals. Let's watch this space. And I hope maybe after the craziness of the NBL Cup and they have a bit more space to breathe. Because, look, they're having to do a lot of organization for an NBL Cup. I'm sure they're being run ragged. So let's give them the opportunity to have a breath after the NBL Cup, get back to a bit of normal programming, and then hopefully they get it dealt with.
Last point I want to make on the decals, and then we'll move on, is I don't feel like Bogut and others, I don't feel like they're operating in good faith. You know, I don't think the primary objective is being upheld here. Obviously, the main thing is get the decals off the floor or change the decals or whatever it is. I feel like the direction now is in the same way that in that Sydney Kings vibe of, We're going to barb Larry. I think that's the sort of intention at the minute, where it's making him look bad. The tweet about NBL media, people getting paid, aren't allowed to criticize or aren't allowed to talk about the decals. That doesn't surprise me though. You know, like that's not, they're employed by NBL media. There's no reason all the other players couldn't go to the Sydney Morning Herald, The Age, all these newspapers. So that I thought was, but right now it's kind of like, are we trying to get the decal issue sorted? Or are we just trying to make Larry and Lee look that bad? And that's where we've got this problem. And really, it's playing out very similar to the COVID finals, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
I think anyway.
No point taking pot shots. Like,
yeah.
We're trying to get constructive.
And we said this as well, like the NBL could straight away take up those decals of its own logo. I think they've got one in either Keyway and maybe in the center circle. You take away those three, then you can move, you know, a logo to the center court. I don't know. They're simple fixes you could do that remove two of eight decals. That's 25%. Yeah, that's a start. And that's where we're at. Anything else on decals?
Nah, let's move on.
Do it. Where do you want to go?
Let's talk Brisbane.
Okay.
Brisbane, they've been a yo-yo team this season so far. Mm-hmm. And I think they're still looking for, they still need to find production from their second import, Orlando Johnson. I'd still be inclined to be looking to replace him if I was in charge. Because he's still not showing me enough.
He showed flashes. What game did he have? 18
a couple of games ago, yeah. But it's, I mean, what's that one in, how many games they played now? 10 games or something?
A good 10, 12 games.
So, I don't know. I still think if you're legit trying to be a contender, you need more from that position than he's giving. So, I would look, especially with the view that the teams are probably going to upgrade. I mean, you got Brokoff. Still do it. So, look, that's a weakness, but the fact of the matter is, since Matt Hodgson has returned to this lineup, they've really turned it around. He's just added so much to this team.
Yeah.
And they're legit. I mean, they've beaten Perth and Melbourne.
Yeah. I mean, here's the problem. I actually see that as a little bit of a schedule fatigue. I thought Cotton got hurt or was sick about a week ago.
Yeah.
I think that sort of played into this. I feel like they had Hodgson sit out games early. He's now really fresh. Oh, isn't it surprising that he's playing so well? You know, so I feel like their schedule has fallen well to meet these players. I feel like Melbourne, there's a little bit of mental fatigue with them, whether it was, we're going undefeated. Yeah, we're going undefeated. We're doing this. We're in Melbourne. I just feel like they kind of got, I mean, I'm fatigued by the number of games that have been played, watching them, let alone, the guys playing them. So I feel like Brisbane kind of just, and then they had Kadee get hurt, but did he miss any time? I don't think so.
Maybe.
And their game, their rotation had just as kind of locked into place. Like, all right, we know what we're getting out of Froling. Harrison's going to be starting. Hodgson's coming in. Hodgson's back. Yeah, just like this is their best time. Are they legit contenders? I think they're a legit contender for the four. I don't see them beating Melbourne consistently.
Yeah, I've not got them into grand finalist contention yet, but certainly they're replacing in New Zealand and Cairns in the conversation. You know, so those guys, that's where Brisbane were going to be seen to be below. That's not changed around.
But here's the thing. We were talking about Hodgson was kind of the big thing with the Brisbane. I mean, he had a huge game. I thought Melbourne played a lot of young guys a lot. I mean, the big dunk came against Peatling, who's new to, you know, professional basketball.
Yep.
It's again, like Hodgson didn't get in foul trouble and he played well. Unfortunately, that first contingency just happens too often. Like, yes, he's good when he doesn't get in foul trouble, but he loves fouling more than anything in the world. And that's why I'm not convinced.
He does, but I haven't seen it so far this season. So I'm really hopeful that
they've had to bring him off the bench behind a kid who's in his early 20s. That's how it's happened. It's working, but
yeah,
I don't trust him. I don't trust it.
Okay. Well, I'm seeing the moves that he's got and the fact that his arms are just so ridiculously long. He renders a lot of defense ineffective because you can just reach over guys or can spin on either hand and finish with pretty soft touch. So as well as
go dunking. And have a look, do this though. Go to YouTube, type in Matt Hodgson, look at his highlights against Melbourne. I don't think he scored a single point against Landau.
Okay. Okay. So he's doing it against
single. And that's not just to say, obviously, you know, he's getting it off rolls. He's getting it off penetration. A lot of it was like dump off dunks and stuff, which, you know, Melbourne don't typically give up. Landau had very few opportunities to kind of body him and get him straight. I'd say 90% of his points came against, guys other than Landau. So.
The other thing I'll say about Hodgson into the lineup is I think in a similar way that Plumlee last year for the Wildcats helped Nick Kay's game, maybe Hodgson might help Vic Law.
Okay.
In terms of just freeing him up to be a little bit more of a roaming player, doesn't have to defend the paint quite as much. So I don't know. I think maybe he might be just adding to the team balance a little bit as well.
So you want to talk about Sobey?
Sobey, he's the other Brisbane Bullet, yeah. I've got a question for you about Nathan Sobey. Has he made the leap? You know, Bill Simmons often talks about the leap.
He's 30. He's a mature player.
It's a late leap.
It's a late leap. He's been around for a long time. I mean, I was looking at this. Really, the question was, has he made the leap? Is he the best local in the NBL?
Yeah. Yeah, that's ultimately what it comes to.
Yeah. And, I mean, he's eighth in PER, which is a pretty good measure of what a player is doing and how good they are. He's still behind Landau. He's behind Hodgson and Mitch Creek are the ones he's behind. Dijon Vasiljevic is nipping at his heels. So Sobey's eighth, Dijon's 10th. And then Ty Webster, who's technically a local, is 12th.
Yep.
Has he made the leap? He certainly made the leap this year. I guess he's just been put in a better position. He's just been told to score more. That World Cup messed up a lot of players. It put a fatigue on Nick Kay. It appeared to me as though Lamanis would have been like, well, you know, Sobey, if you want to kind of make an Olympic or World Cup team, which is a little bit out of his wheelhouse, it's a point guard that's needed, which is not his game. And now he's just scoring. The ball's his in the fourth.
Look what the World Cup did to Cam Glidden.
Cam Glidden.
He couldn't hit a shot for 18 months.
Precisely. And I mean, Sobey, I think also like the pick and roll defense has taken a hit this year without that third import spot. There's a lot less athleticism out there. Like you look at Adelaide, how you couldn't just pick and roll them to death.
Yeah.
A few other teams, Melbourne, not so much. But yeah, he just seems to be playing well, hitting shots. I don't know what to say.
I think.
But in answer to the question, has he taken the leap? Yeah, he has this year. I mean, he was much better than he was last year.
Yeah.
And
I'm so happy not to see him playing point guard anymore. I think, I mean, everybody always questioned that. It never made much sense, did it?
Mm.
Finally, he's been released.
It comes down to Kadee as well. Like Kadee's just playing with a little bit more poise and doing a bit more. So
yeah,
even in the absence of, Tamiri Weakness, did they have a backup point guard who got hurt? Because Weakness all of a sudden getting a lot of time. Am I?
Don't think so. I mean, yeah. Kadee had that short term
injury. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. But is he the best local? Like, I mean, Landau's still really good. Yeah. Hodgson, Creek. I don't think he's better than Landau.
Maybe he's.
I don't think he's better than Creek.
Best backcourt local then. Willing to make that call?
I don't think there's any other contender, is there?
Maybe Dangadel, because Dangadel's not really in the backcourt, but he's ahead of him in the Boomer selection.
Well, Do you want to jump onto that? Do you want to talk about Dejan Vasiljevic and the Boomers?
Yeah, let's do a bit of Boomers talk.
How's he not in the squad?
Dejan?
He's rookie of the year, we can agree. So to this point,
straight ahead. I mean, look, it would have been close if Humphreys kept playing the way he started off.
Oh, yeah. Technically, he would have been eligible.
Humphreys. Is he eligible?
He's only played the 1 year.
I don't know. Anyway.
Odds are he would have been. The NBL rookie of the year, if you can work out the stipulations, you let me know.
It's confusing. But yeah, DJ, definitely. He's playing so well and being relied upon.
Yeah. Oh, big time. As a big time scorer. And I think when you get a backcourt scorer in the NBL, an Australian backcourt scorer, you got to nurture that because that is so rare.
Yep.
Someone who can shoot like him and everything. I think he's a real potential star, you know, not in the same vein as like a Mitch Norton, who's a great defender and a great player, but you can't get up for that guy as much as Dejan Vasiljevic. This guy's really fun. Yep. Scores in bunches, huge. But going back to the Boomers thing, you were saying, Andrew?
I just want to say, I don't think we've had a backcourt scorer like since Shane Hill.
Really?
Shane Hill.
Shane Hill, John Reilly.
John Reilly never really went as far as I thought he might, you know.
He coasted a bit.
I'm thinking, you know, like Shane Hill was an international player.
Shane Hill is a great comparison and Dejan's got a way better body.
Yeah.
Much bigger, much taller, much stronger.
And they both have attitude.
Which is healthy.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of this kid. And I said, you know, let's talk about him in context with the Boomers and that squad. I mean, I'd have him over Mitch Norton. I understand you want a defensive point guard for training and whatever else, but come on. And then, like, much as people are like, oh, who's he going to go in over? And I just say, Thon McCurr. I mean, that guy is not going to make the team. He's a beanpole. He's never played anywhere. He can't play. And as much as they're totally different positions, he's not. You tell me Thon McCurr is going to be able to guard Aaron Baines and Modem and those guys, let alone when they get into Olympic play. Just forget it. You know, I'd have him in an up.
I'm saying Dengadel. I'm saying get that guy out of there.
William McDowell White. I haven't seen enough of him. Well, Xavier Cooks is hurt, so maybe that's the natural spot if he doesn't repair himself. So I think there's every chance that he does join that squad. Squad.
Yes, yeah. I just think they named that squad real early.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
I don't know whether that's something to do with the timing for COVIDs and whatever in the Olympics and who knows, right? It's all out of whack this year. But I think they need to do a version 2 of that that camp roster.
I totally agree. And maybe they do. Maybe it's not a concrete thing. But, I mean, Ding Adele's one who, you know, I'm sure he's great promise, but also you talk about maturing. Everyone's like, oh, put Gideon such and such and Josh Green in the squad to nurture that talent. I mean, Dejan Vasiljevic is 23. If you don't nurture people now, when are you going to do it? So the clock's kind of ticking and I'm just a huge fan. What can I say?
Yeah. I think he's great. Really good to see him playing well.
Totally. Where do you want to go now? Do you want to talk about Lamar Patterson?
Yeah, let's do Lamar.
All right, here's what I've got on Lamar Patterson. This is more of our, you know, detective work here. MCL strain, doctor's second opinion, and is now sitting out 4 to 6 weeks. If that injury is as stated, I will buy you a steak dinner.
Delicious.
Andrew Kane? Yeah, I think. I don't think you're going to get it because I don't think it's legit. But I look at it in this way. Look, his play was poor. His conditioning was poor. His teammates and his coach resented him for it. How upset did the Websters look in the press conferences that we were a part of?
Yes.
Yep. And when we ever asked any other teams and coaches about questions about players underperforming or not being up to it, it was a united front, both coach and player. When we asked that question about, you know, are they in, is he in good shape? It was Shamir to answer the question. He answered it through, you know, gritted teeth.
Yeah.
And you look at the length of the injury, 4 to 6 weeks, I think it is. That's 28 days, and that's what the new stipulation is in the import contract to turn around an issue that the team has. So I look at all these things and I go, I'm just saying I'm skeptical.
Yep.
That's all, I'm just skeptical. And I think they've told him, hey, get down to a certain body fat percentage or a certain beat test, whatever it is, and we'll talk.
Set some what do you goals. Think? Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
We'll see what happens. If he gets cut, I'm just,
because I've become suddenly this real GM addict, I'm now quickly skimmed over to Lamar Patterson's real GM numbers. The one that jumps out is his PER, because I know you like that one. What's a good PER?
off for an import, you'd want to be at least sort of around the 20, high teens, low 20, I suppose.
Okay.
For him, yeah.
So his PER is 8.1.
Oh, wow. And listen, this is not just the issue is it's a character issue as well, and not just on the part of Lamar Patterson. He came in, if this was in Brisbane, he'd still be playing. He'd still be, that's a lower income team. It's not, it's just a different way they operate. Dan Shamir is not going to let you coast. He'd rather sabotage himself and the team to make the point.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, you know, he'd rather be like, no, this is the way we do things. You're not going to do it. I'd rather have the bench guy come in and do what I'm going to say, rather than get more wins out of a situation that's not what we do, which is commendable, which is sort of a wildcat mentality in a way. And they have not liked what they've seen, and you know, rightfully so. And look, that just shocks me, though. I mean, 8 is hideous.
For comparison, his season in Brisbane last year, he was at 19.6.
Wow. There's this fellow who does Spatial Jam. I think his name's Andrew Price.
Yes.
He put out these stats about Lamar Patterson, and it's a chasm of drop-off in production. And again, not because he's not capable of it, but because the situation around him, it's not working.
Yep.
And this injury, I'm sorry, I don't second opinion. If you're definitive about something, you don't need a second opinion. I think this podcast is really good. I don't need a second opinion, Andrew.
Hey, look, perhaps New Zealand are now traveling to Tasmania. Perhaps the fresh Tasmanian air, going back to island life, just the way the Kiwis like it.
It's kind of like New Zealand is kind of like Tasmania. If it's very similar, everyone's real nice, but you know that something is horribly wrong. I think Tasmania, this is interesting. They've started to play well. They got very close to Melbourne United. And the talk of the COVID struggles is sort of starting to diminish a little bit. It's almost as if COVID was a bit of an issue, but also losing was more of an issue.
Yep.
I think this move to Tasmania it could be kind of good for them. I don't know.
It's a great way to trial the NBL in Tassie.
Mm.
You really hope they get good, strong support and things go well, because it really is a trial balloon for what they're going to do in a few months' time. When they launch the Jack Jumpers, because that's, I think that kicks off in October. I think that's the start date for the next season. So that's what they've.
We talked about this.
A lot of time to get that right.
We talked about this months ago. They've done one good thing. They signed Scott Roth, the assistant coach of the Wildcats, former assistant coach of the Wildcats.
That's right.
So all you have to do is look at to see who their marquee signing is going to be. Just go. Scott Roth is a client of Lighthouse Sports. Go and have a look who's on the real GM, if you wish, the Lighthouse Sports Management stable of talent, and just look who's out of contract. And I think they might sign one of them. That's my Karnak impression. I got a feeling that the Scott Roth hire may have been a little bit of a foot in the door.
Right. The agency. Interesting.
But we shall see. Hopefully they get Carl Adam. He's out of contract. Anyway, let's not go there. Anything else on this one, or you want to jump somewhere else?
No, let's go on. Let's talk about another team that have had injuries. Can we talk Melbourne?
Yeah, okay. What do you want to say?
Melbourne. Well, I think last week you mentioned the Ewing theory.
Oh, dear.
Chris Gordon came back.
And they lost. He had a good game.
He did. Well, yeah, he had a good game.
He shot well.
Yes.
No, he still likes
it. He doesn't mind a low percentage shot, though, does he?
He's a splashy player.
Yeah.
They lost. His return. Did you put it down to?
Look,
I only watched the last half, so I'm still kind of undecided.
As much as it would be fun to say, the Ewing theory has been proven, I can't say that yet because Hobson was missing, Jack White's out. You know,
yeah.
Shaley didn't really find his feet in this one. They just got outplayed. Brisbane are just playing.
They just
really
shot
well.
Really poorly. When I talk about fatigue, we talked about that before. Like, they just shot poorly. I didn't see anything where Brisbane kind of really clamped them or took the game away from them. I thought Hodgson killed them and they shot poorly.
Yeah, and they persisted. They were shooting poorly and they kept going. They kept shooting. And they were just trying to shoot their way out of it, which they did to an extent in the second half, but they dug a hole by that point.
Obviously not enough. But, yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of stock in the Ewing theory. I mean, he's a high-gravity player. You know, he comes back and, you know, maybe the team was looking themselves off to find him. I don't know. I didn't see a lot of it, but we'll see how they go in the next one. I think that'll be the bigger test.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know who they're playing.
Who are they playing next? It's so hard to keep up with these.
This NBL Cup, it's too much too soon.
While you're talking about that, I think the NBL Cup's been fun, but too long. Yep. It should have ended this. If it had ended this week, just gone, I think it would have been okay. I could have dealt with it.
So how much longer is there?
It's another week. Another three games or so, I think.
Well, I mean, they obviously had to. I think at this point, there's a little bit of these games are empty carbs. It's like just cram them in. We have a certain amount of advertising games and dollars. Like a certain amount of games need to be played for the advertisers. Just cram them in. And nothing kills the NBL more than midweek games. It's impossible to get to these games. People have got a life. And also, maths is on.
Start with that. You're not one of those people, are you?
Are you kidding me? You bet I am.
I've put a block on my Twitter. Anything with maths in it gets filtered out.
Oh, well, it must be coming straight to me and I'm eating it up. No, I'm a fan. But it's just midweek games. Impossible to get to. Difficult to follow. Also difficult to kind of get your bearing. Like overtime comes out on a Tuesday. Sometimes there's games on at the same time. Sometimes there's not. It's impossible to work out how you interact with this cup. Yeah, toughy.
Yep.
I'm getting a little bit worn down by it, if I can be honest. I've enjoyed it. I agree that it's fun, but I'm getting a little worn down.
Well, the only thing, probably what would have made it more fun and more palatable is if it had an ELAM ending. But
Not. Don't start with me.
Sorry.
Anything else on Melbourne?
No, they do play. I say no and then I say something. I always do that. It's such an annoying habit. Yes, I've got one more thing on Melbourne. They play this Wednesday up against Southeast Melbourne. So you want to test a midweek game. This is the one to test. So Southeast Melbourne unveiling Ryan Brokoff, I would assume.
Oh.
He's in training.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, I'm in. I'm back in. I'm culling Kansas games. New Zealand are kind of back on my radar a little bit. I want to see.
Well, they are playing each other this Wednesday. They're the warm-up act for the Melbourne games.
Yeah, typical. I want to talk about another team that's struggling. Illawarra Hawks. Uh-huh. Ooh. Brian Gorgian.
Is he still the master coach?
Are the rose-tinted glasses coming off? Are people starting to get up off their knees? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, he just got absolutely smoked by Trevor Gleeson.
Smoked.
Didn't have an answer to any of it.
Gleeson must see that matchup and just go, ugh. How old's Gorgian at this point? And to give him the boomer's job, are we looking at the past or are we looking at the future? Gleeson must be absolutely gutted.
I would say so.
Angry. Oh.
Yeah. If players have games circled on their calendars, surely coaches do too, right?
Surely. And that's one where it's like, F Brian Gorgian.
Yep.
What do you think?
I'm going to flex offense the shit out of this.
Watch him flex. What do you think? Like, have they lost it? Justin Simon. He's had a couple. He has these games where he just shoots so poorly.
Yep.
I don't know what to make of him yet.
And Cam Bairstow, some days he's like really good.
Expected.
Dan Adele's been an absolute bust.
Mm. But they've still got a number of wins on the board.
They do.
Harvey and Harvey's been the really only consistent guy. Like Jessup's even been a bit up and down.
Yep.
I said this at the start of the year, their front court. I don't like their front court. Ogilvy, Bairstow, Frolling. We're now getting into the doldrums of the year. They combined for 11 points, four of 18 in 47 minutes. Now, scoring's not everything, but it's something as well. But they didn't rebound the heck out of it either. Mm.
It's a worry.
Starting to present itself a little bit where they came out with a real bang and then Frolling start, young guys get beat up. Their body isn't as strong. Bairstow, his body doesn't hold up full stop. And then Ogilvy against Perth, good luck. Not going to happen. Never has for him. So.
Yeah, it's starting to look a bit worrying for them. And look, they're a young team. They will have their ups and downs and they'll have to take their lumps. But they've shown that they can do it. And now what is it? Have they lost focus or are they just, is the Gorgian magic not working?
This is the other thing as well. Gorgian, pretty high-intensity coach. Are they looking at the schedule and sort of taking a bit of a lull? Like this is typically when the Wildcats they have their normally they start the year with all their home games and then they kind of have that lull as they're on the road for the Hopman Cup.
Yeah.
And I look at this Hawks and you're like, where are you working out your sort of schedule losses? And is this one of them where you just thought, you know, we'll kind of do whatever? But I mean, they started real high. Ogilvy was real good. Ogilvy's on a real downturn. You know, can they get a break in the schedule after the cup and come back up?
Did you watch the press conference with Gorchin?
No.
Because he basically was saying, look, I'll live with the wins and losses. I don't mind that. Poor performance is fine as long as you're trying, as long as you've got the effort. And he's like, if I'm not seeing effort, that's when I get angry. And he's like, I'm not going to call players out, but he basically called the whole team out, I think, as in they're not given the effort.
I think that's typical Gorgon storytelling. I think he's got a team that plays hard every game. I think that he just got beaten by, like, he's still, like everyone, working out, how do you beat the Wildcats?
Yeah.
How do you do that? That's a really tough, really tough question to answer. And
he seems shocked as well. Sorry, I keep cutting you off.
Yeah, no, go on.
He seemed really, in the press conference, one of the first things he said was just like, he felt good coming into this game. He thought he could really show something. And he's like, we got outplayed, got outcoached, just got outworked. And he was just like, it was almost like gut punches.
I'll have to watch this. Everyone, go to the NBL website and check out these press conferences.
It almost felt like he didn't realize the progression that the league and some of these coaches had perhaps made. Now, I'm reading between the lines here, right?
No, do it.
But it did feel like he was like, yeah, you know, I got Trevor Gleeson's measure. I'm Brian Gorgian. You know, like I know what it's all about.
Yeah, okay.
And then all of a sudden it was like, he's got.
I look at it and I just think he could have said that they have no one to match up on John Mooney. They have no one even close to capable of doing what he does. And then they still have no one who can stop Bryce Cotton. And when you go up against the Wildcats and you can't do either of those things, you know, you're going to get smoked.
Yeah.
And that's where they sit, unfortunately. I think they sit where we sort of had them in that, you know, 4-6 range.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. But, you know, I as much as I've been a bit negative on Gorgian, we still think he's a good coach.
But if they don't unlock Dangadel and figure out how to get him going, like highest.
Do you think he's got something at this point? We're now 10 games into the year. He may be hurt or whatever. Excuse time is over. Can he play?
I don't think he can. But he made, like, he was playing in the G League and the NBA. He was touted. I think he was. I just don't understand this. Like, who's his agent? Because they've done a great job.
Have they ever? I think he falls in this XM category of like, oh, long, rangy, oh, a lot of upside, a lot of potential. You know, you can stand on the sidelines, you can take your potential to the grave, you know, to the grave. And he's not a young guy either. He'd be in his mid-20s.
Yeah, 24. Yeah.
24. Well, 24. Still pretty young. But still, I mean, he's older than Dijan Vasiljevic. I just hate excuse making. I hate it. Yeah. Where do you want to go next, or you got more?
I'm looking at my list. I basically worked through my list. What have you got for me? You got anything?
Nope. That's it.